الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters listening over receivers, the reason for choosing this ayat again is that when it comes to Muharram the 10th, once again we will hear of all the khurafat, all the bidat, and all those practices which have got nothing to do with Islam, and unfortunately we also get trapped, especially in those countries where there is a large population or large community of those following the Shia faith and religion. Then we have a lot of clashes with those who are Sunni Muslims. There are so many murders, killings, masajid are generally burnt, and sometimes bombs are thrown in the masajid. We have experienced all these type of things whilst we were 7-8 years in India. And recently also, those people who follow the news of happenings around the world, they have seen that what happens on such occasions. Because there is this belief that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred on the 10th of Muharram. So therefore this 10th of Muharram must not be observed as a day in which we prepare more meals or we express happiness, in which we engage in extra ibadat, zikr, tilawat. It should not be in any way signifying a kind of happiness. There should be sorrow, there should be grief, everybody should be mourning. And as is seen and witnessed in Pakistan and other countries, even in India, in the Lucknow area and other parts, where people will beat up their chests, they will take knives, they will take chains, and they will take all kinds of things, and they will be bleeding profusely, and they will consider that as some kind of great ibadat, that we are mourning the loss of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So we have to have some kind of knowledge, we have to educate ourselves, we have to improve our knowledge as the years go along. In the beginning, we also due to ignorance, used to get trapped in a lot of things. So we have to look at the Quran Sharif and the Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that we know that this Yawm of Ashura, the 10th of Ashura, now we are continuing from where we left off last week, that this Yawm of Ashura, and once again it is not Laylatul Ashura. Many words it is written, the significance of the night. But there is no night, it is the question, it is the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Now this 10th of Muharram, whilst Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkatul Mukarrama, and the Sahaba-e Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, and even the Quraysh, or the people of Makkah Mukarrama, those who had not even accepted Islam, but they too used to observe a fast on this 10th of Muharram. They too used to consider the 10th of Muharram as a significant day. And it was considered as a significant day because from time immemorial it was recorded that this was the day in which many, many major incidents took place. Now although historically those things have been recorded, but if you have to look up the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then many of those are considered to be from weak narrations and weak ahadith. So therefore the ulama say that ulama-e-tariq ne ye likha hai. That means all those things that have been mentioned, that for example, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created the heaven on that day, Allah ta'ala created the earth on that day, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on that day, on the 10th of Muharram, created the trees and the leaves of the trees and everything else. And on the 10th of Muharram, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was saved in the fire. On the 10th of Muharram, Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he was given shifa from his ailment and sickness. Now all those are lengthy incidents, stories, but we're not going into any details. Or that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, in the stomach of the whale, deep down in the ocean, in all kinds of darknesses, when he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu minaz zalimeen. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepted his dua, and he was given najat, he was given salvation. It was the 10th of Muharram. Now all these type of incidents which have been recorded, ulama have said that it is not from very, very authentic ahadith, and it does not have that kind of weight as those which are from the sahih ahadith. So therefore we should try to stick to that which is from the sahih narrations, and these type of things we can attribute it to historical facts. But the fact is that it was the 10th of Muharram which had been chosen by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from day one, which was to be recognized as a day of significance and of great virtue. Now if you have to look at the books of Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I have great hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the person who will fast on the 10th of Muharram, then it will be a kafara, a compensation for the sins of the past year. Now wherever such kind of things have been mentioned in an Hadith Sharif, that the sins of the whole year are forgiven, the sins of a lifetime are forgiven, the sins of many years are forgiven, so it is to be understood in its proper perspective. Just as we say that if a person goes for Hajj, then in Arafat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives all sins if the person sincerely repents. And this person when he returns, then raja'aka yawmin waladathu ummuhu, the day that his mother gave birth, how he was clean and pak, that's how he becomes clean and pak when he returns from that Hajj. So now what does that mean? Does it mean that all the sins have been forgiven, so therefore if this person has been cheating someone, he has been deceiving someone, he has been stealing somebody's money, he has been charging interest on loans that he has given, or this person has caused other kind of damage and harm, so all that is forgiven? It doesn't mean that. What it means is that delay for making tawbah, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven, but from the major sins he will have to repent sincerely, and if it involves the rights of people, then there's no question of escaping that repayment to whomsoever whatever is due. If not, then every haji will just return from Hajj and say, didn't you know, see how I cried in Arafat, so everything is maaf now, what are you asking for your money that was lent to you? I cried it out in Arafat, everything maaf now. So that is not what is meant. If the zakat wasn't paid, he must start paying now. If he missed his salat, he must start performing the qazas. If he missed his fast, he must start keeping the fast. So just like that, this Muharram 10th fast, if a person has to keep it, then it is mentioned that it is hoped that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of the past year, meaning the minor sins which we commit day and night. We don't know how much of those sins we commit. We don't even realize that we have committed those sins. So those sins sometimes are washed away with the waters of the wuzu. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was sitting making wuzu, and then he looked on his side, there was a young person. So he said, son, don't disobey your parents. Then one day somebody else was sitting, he said, son, save yourself from fornication. So then he stopped looking on the right and left, because he could, Allah Ta'ala gave him that basirat, that he could see what sins this person committed, which was being washed with the waters of the wuzu. Now we will not believe in these things because we don't have that basirat, but we believe in the telescope, we believe in the microscope, we believe in all other kinds of instruments which pick up so many things which our naked eyes cannot pick up. We believe in all that. But when it comes to this, we can't believe because we don't have that basirat. We haven't purified our hearts to that extent that we can see these type of things. And it is not something that happens always also. Nevertheless, so this 10th of Muharram fast, the forgiveness of sins in its place, But what it means is that it is the minor sins, and as far as major sins are concerned, the person will still have to make sincere tawbah and fulfill the rights of the people. And if it is involving monies that were borrowed, he has to repay. If it involves harm, injury and pain to somebody without justification, he has to ask that person for forgiveness. So that is one thing that we find. And the other thing is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned that if the person extends provision for his family on this day, I'm just giving you the meaning of the hadith sharif, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the rest of the year will give him barakat. Allah ta'ala will increase his provisions. Now many, many people throughout the centuries have had this experience, that when they did that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala extended their risk and sustenance for the rest of the year. They did not have any kind of serious problem when it came to the mas'ala or the question of risk and sustenance. Now that has been mentioned. But once again we have to understand it in its proper perspective. I have mentioned this before also in my talks and I am repeating. That what happens is that we just take a hadith sharif and we try to understand it but out of context. So then we just cling on to one thing and forget all the rest of the things that are important and necessary. Now we must keep something in mind, and I've mentioned this in many places and alhamdulillah it has an impact and it made sense, that we have to understand that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's first audience were his companions, the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. They were the first audience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, not people like us. He was not talking to people like us, that even if you don't have one salat in your life, then too you are a good Muslim. The person doesn't make one salat, but he's very charitable. So they say, Mawlana, what a good Muslim that person is. And on the other hand, the person has got very, very good salat, but he doesn't give any charity, the person is not good at home, the person doesn't have his akhlaq right. So the person says, Mawlana, what a good Muslim this is. 5 times a day he's in the first saf and he cries in his duas. So we've got no balance. It's not a question of just clinging on to one thing or the other. Islam is not compartmentalized, deen and religion. In Islam there's salah also, there's zakah, there's fasting, there's hajj, there's fulfillment of the rights of the poor, of the needy, of the destitute. There's fulfillment of the rights of parents, of children, of wives, of neighbors. There's everything in this deen. So the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they had all the different branches of deen. They had all the different requirements of deen in their lives. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was addressing them. They were the first audience. Now we will take a kitab and read the fazilat of reading this tasbih. If somebody reads it 1,000 times, then this will happen, that will happen. Now that person will just take that one tasbih and he will read and he will read until he, and he wait for the results. But he is going to neglect his salat, the person is speaking lies, is committing adultery and fornication, the person is watching all the filth on the TV, is watching the porn internet sites, is reading filthy magazines, is doing all those things. And now he's waiting for the results of that wazifa that he read in some kitab. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not addressing such a kind of audience. His audience were the companions who had piety in their lives, who had taqwa in their lives, who had honesty and truthfulness in their lives, who made sacrifices for the sake of deen, they made sacrifices for the sake of others. They were prepared to take upon difficulty upon themselves and hardship upon themselves, but they desired that the other person should have peace and happiness. They were never one of those people who caused harm and injury and pain to anybody without any justification. Even in the battlefield they observed the rules and the laws of Sharia and the Quran and the Sunnah. Look at the history of the Sahabas. Read the Hikayat of Sahaba and other kitabs that have been written. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told those people that if you do this, fast on the 10th of Muharram, then this is what will happen. So they understood it and then they practiced upon it. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them the rewards immediately. Because they had salat, they had zakat, they had hajj, they had fasting, they had piety, they had tawakkul, they had everything. And now they extended the dastarkhan also. And on the 10th of Muharram, they made extra provision for the family. hoping for the rewards which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave it to them. Allah ta'ala gave them so much that those who were poverty stricken, those who did not have clothes on their bodies, those whose clothes had a lot of patches, and look at them when they were going out for jihad purposes. Sometimes they didn't even have sufficient food. One date seed, all of them are chewing and sucking. So that was their condition. But Allah Ta'ala put the empires at their feet. The Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. And a time came when in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, heaps of gold, silver and other things used to pile up. And the companion used to walk in, Allahu Akbar, make the salat and make dua and walk out. Not even interested in what is there. If it had been one of us, then we would have been sitting right in front of that pile there. Then when will the distribution take place? So they understood it, that this is what we have to implement, that not that just dastarkhan is extended, now the person hasn't even made namaz for the day, and says, no, Hadith Sharif says that you must have plenty of food, or extend the dastarkhan on the 10th of Muharram. So only when it comes to halwa, then that time is same as, it's something very sweet, and we all must find out when to eat the halwa, before the biryani or after the biryani. What about all the other sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So this is mentioned there. But of course it does not mean that the person must go to extremes. The better thing to do on that day is that one extra curry the person prepares at home. It is cooked during the day and eaten at iftar time if the person is fasting. But then give some sadqah, give some charity, buy some hamper and go and give it to some poor person so that he too can have a dastarkhan for that 10th of Muharram. Instead of having 10 extra things for ourselves, have one thing extra on our table and increase the table of somebody else. So there are many ways. But it seems that about the only thing that the women folk to know and they want to find out about is how many things we must prepare and what must we cook and when must it be cooked and before sunrise or after sunrise and must we eat it before sunset or after sunset and if we're fasting then what we must do. Now is this the only thing in Islam? The food part of it. So indeed, if the person is doing it because it is a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he will get the blessings. But it must not be considered to be the only thing. The same way when it comes to the 10th of Muharram, the other thing that we learn is that it is not the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu which gave the significance to this 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very fortunate. He was one of those very fortunate people who got martyrdom on the 10th of Muharram. So that enhanced his virtues. It increased his virtues. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion while she was lying down, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was just a very little child at the time. Then how those little toddlers, they just come and they climb on the chest of the grandparents and they climb on the back. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was lying down and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was playing with him on his chest. And after a little while it was noticed that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is tearing. And there is some kind of sand in his hand. So his wife asked, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is this? Why are you suddenly tearing? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came just now. And he brought this sand. And he said that this is the ground, or this is the sand from that ground, where your grandson Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an is going to be martyred. So he says he brought the sand. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he teared, but he didn't make dua that, Ya Allah, don't cause him to be martyred. There's great lessons in there. That he fulfilled the rights of both. That on the one hand, he fulfilled the right of that grandchild. That martyrdom is indeed a great thing. It's a great ibadat. But it does not mean that the person must express great happiness if somebody has been just martyred. There must be fulfillment of the right of that martyr also. That there is tears which are being shed. Like when his own son passed away, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shed tears. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you are also tearing. He said, Inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim lamahzunun. O Ibrahim, in your departure, his son Ibrahim. He said, O Ibrahim, in your departure from this world, we are grieved. So on the one hand, he shed tears to show that that is the right of that person that passed away. Some people, they think that if a person has to shed tears, then he hasn't got piety and taqwa of the level of that person who smiles. Indeed, there are people also who smiled on such occasions. But that is their hal. It's a kind of a condition of theirs which we are not forced to emulate. We are told that we must balance the rights of all. On the one hand, it is a son, he passed away, so if you tear, there's nothing wrong. If it's a wife that passed away, parents that passed away, the person is tearing, so there's nothing wrong. That's a right of the parents, that there's grief and sorrow in the heart. But on the other hand, the person must say only that with the tongue, which is nothing but just. He mustn't start making comments, Allah Ta'ala didn't find anybody else to take away but my child, as people say these days, na'uzubillah. So he fulfilled the right of Allah Ta'ala and he fulfilled the right of the child also. He fulfilled the right of Allah Ta'ala and he fulfilled the right of the wife also. So that is the balance of Sharia, that on the one hand he is tearing that his grandson is going to be martyred there. But on the other hand he is not making dua that, Ya Allah, why give him martyrdom, let him die on his bed. In the battle of Uhud, as I mentioned last week, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees his body, he tears. So it is not a question of the person must be happy that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu got martyred. But because the martyrdom took place, so now we will say that it was a great virtue that Hazrat Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu got the 10th of Muharram for his martyrdom. But after that, all this mourning and the beating up of the chest and the bleeding that is caused with the chains that the person hits on his back and on his shoulders, go and see what happens in those countries. Now that has got nothing to do with Islam. They say on the 10th of Muharram a person must not get married, it's bad luck. So if it was bad luck to get married on the 10th of Muharram, then it is not bad luck to open the business on that day. The person, what about the earnings of that day in the business? Why the bad luck doesn't come in the money that flows into the tills? It only comes into the marriage. Bad luck must be very, very brilliant and sharp that it chooses where to go. So there's no question of bad luck. In fact, it's a good thing. If the person gets married on the 10th of Muharram, it's not that it is Hadith Sharif or Quran Sharif that another person must sit down and start mourning. It is a day of rejoicing because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave salvation to the Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people. They crossed the Red Sea. And so many other things that happened which have been authentically recorded, not those things which have been fabricated. So if a person on this day, he fasts, expresses happiness, and he gives some gifts to his children without any formality, or the person extends the dastarkhan with a few extra things to eat and drink, so it's not a question of his expressing happiness that Hazrat Imam Hussein passed away, na'uzubillah. That's got nothing to do with that. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the understanding of what is true Islam. At present we are just clinging on to this branch or that branch or that branch. Whereas Islam is a complete package, I have always said. So when we read these ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam about forgiveness of sins or about increase of sustenance or these type of things, then we have to be very, very clear in our minds that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was addressing his companions who had in their lives piety, who had in their lives righteousness, who had in their lives amal saliha, the righteous deeds and actions, and they had great love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They were abstaining from all kinds of sins, any kind of haram. And then they were doing these things which were of virtue. So Allah Ta'ala gave them immense rewards in this world too, and He will give them in the Akhirat too. But if we are going to only do these one or two things and now wait for returns, and if it doesn't happen, then we say what kind of Hadith Sharif, na'uzubillah. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of the Ummah around the globe and of mankind. May Allah cause the winds of Hidayat to blow throughout the continents. And wherever on the 10th of Muharram these type of clashes and fights and quarrels and murders and killings and bombings take place, we must make a lot of dua tonight that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect the ummah from such kind of confusion and such kind of terror that is unleashed on this type of Mubarak day. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.